The Memorial Day weekend is partly about starting summer, the unofficial beginning to the summer season. It's also about remembering, thinking about those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, looking back at our history. That's something they do every day at the Overton County Heritage Museum. Paula Stover is its director. Where did your love of history begin?
I think I've always had it. My parents were interested in history. My dad was a school teacher, taught chemistry and biology, but they loved history and they took us to historical places. And we've always talked genealogy with everybody, and I just love it all.
If I were to ask you to put some adjectives on how you would describe Overton County history, what would be some of the words you might choose?
Exciting. Habit forming. Overton County has a rich history. We're an older county, much 50 years almost older than Putnam County. And Putnam County, in fact, was formed from part of Overton County. So,
what's the origin of Overton County?
Overton County was formed in 1806, same day as White County was formed. And at that time, Overton County and Putnam County and White County met right in front of the White Plains Plantation, right in the road is about where the county line was.
So Overton County was a big county.
It was a big county. It took in part of Morgan County, part of Scott County, some of Cumberland County, all of Clay, Pickett, Fentress.
All of that was included in Overton County.
Yes. But we were formed 3 years after Jackson County. Before that, it was all Jackson County.
Named for?
Overton County was named for John Overton. He probably was never in Overton County, but he's a good friend of Andrew Jackson's.
And that's how that happened.
Most of the counties, I have a book that tells the origin of the names of all the counties and when they were formed. The biggest part of them, I don't remember the percentage, maybe 40% of the Tennessee counties are named for people mostly from the War of 1812 and some from the Revolutionary War, but mostly later. Of course, we didn't have white settlers here during Revolutionary War time. They came later.
And who were the settlers of Overton County in those early days?
Sevier, Bilbrey, Copeland, Smith, Winningham, Stover.
A lot of familiar names.
Yes. Swallows. Yes.
And where did they come from? Do we know much about where they originated?
Yes, they came from North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, a few from New York State. There's a section in the 7th District of Overton County that's called Mohawk Valley. And once you dig into the origin of that, those people came from that area in New York. So they brought their names with them a lot of times.
We're talking a little history today with Paula Stover. She's the director of the Overton County Heritage Museum. We'll tell you more about the museum and its work as we continue. Paula Stover is our guest, the director of the Overton County Heritage Museum. In this world that we live in today that is so techno-savvy, sometimes there's a sense that maybe we don't treasure our history the way we once did. Do you feel that?
I think so. I think that's true. But I think more people are getting interested in it now than was. A lot of people are trying to find their roots and where their roots began, where they came from, and why did they come here. There's migratory paths that comes across from different. Of course, the settlers in New York, Pennsylvania, and so on, they came through Cumberland Gap for the most part.
And made it here.
And some moved on to Illinois. There's migratory paths that leave here. Some went to Arkansas, some on to Texas, some in Illinois. Of course, a few moved to some of the other states later, but that's pretty much where the Overton County people went to.
I often pause when I'm driving to Nashville or Knoxville and you're driving along the interstate and you think back to what life must have been like in this area in the 1800s.
I wish because the time travel.
You look around and you realize this was a very remote part of the world.
It was. The area of, in the upper part of Overton County, Monroe, and in that area, and when you look at some of the deeds from that area, it's called the Barrens. I'm not sure why. Native Americans did do burn-offs sometimes. I don't know really why. I've tried to discover why, but it's called the Barrens. So evidently it was more suited to farmland. They didn't have to clear it off maybe as much.
How did that affect the people from the diaries and the letters and those things that you've read of being remote?
I don't think I would have made a good pioneer woman. I had a house wherever I was, and I was settled, and that's where my family is. And I've got these small children, and no, I don't want to crawl in a little wagon and take everything I have and never come back. And that's what they had to do. They had to leave their family behind and probably never saw them again.
You called it a rich history. What about it stands out to you as rich?
I think it's a very rich history. These people were brave souls to brave the wilderness. If you walk through the woods or climb a mountain or walk across a stream, they had no roads. They had to blaze their own path through, and that was hard. You might be inside of where you camped the night before when you camp tonight, because life was just hard to move through. And there's a lot of the major roads. I think it's Tennessee Tech. Somebody did a study just a couple of years ago on the pathways and the roads that came through here. Overton County is bisected Highway 85, Highway 84, Highway 42. The Moses Fisk Turnpike, which is 136, 111. Overton County is bisected by a lot of major roads.
Was Livingston the center of life in those early days?
No. The county seat of Overton County was Monroe. That's where their courts were held, their jail. There was no Livingston at that time. But the county seat was moved to Livingston in 1833. So it was almost 30 years in Monroe.
When did, what time frame, I guess, would you say was the kind of the beginning of modern times in Overton County? When the county looked and felt like we see it today?
It would have been well after the Civil War. I would say in the rural areas, World War One probably did a lot of changing, because a lot of those guys had never been out of their own county. They'd never been anywhere. And they were shipped off to do their training in South Carolina, all these different places before they were sent overseas. And they were put on this big ship and sent to a foreign country to fight. I think that's when maybe things got a little more modernized after they came back and saw a different world than what they'd always known.
And they really became the instigators of change.
Yes, they did. World War II really brought about a lot of change. But we had no electricity. We didn't have phones. The people in the town of Livingston had this before the rural areas. The rural areas didn't have this until the late 40s and the 50s.
That's probably a lot later than people realize.
It is. I'll give my age away. I was 4 before we had electricity at our house. It was in 1948.
And what part of the county was that?
That's in the lower end. I'm about 3 miles west of Rickman.
Wow. It makes you understand.
And we didn't have telephones till mid-50s, 1956 or 7, before they ran telephone lines our way.
Can you just imagine? Well, you don't have to imagine. You were there.
But I remember the first coal time. Lamps. I remember the coal lamps and.
But the first time that phone rang.
Yes.
And you could talk to somebody in a.
Even though you had eight people on your party line, which kids don't understand that today, you shared that phone with all your neighbors. And they had to get off before you could call somebody. And sometimes most times they were willing, but sometimes it could be a problem.
Paula Stover is our guest. We're talking Overton County history. Visiting with Paula Stover, she is the director of the Overton County Heritage Museum. Let's talk about the museum for a second. So what will I see if I stop by and take a tour?
It's a group of volunteers. None of us get paid. We put in a lot of hours and a lot of work. We put in a lot of 12-hour days over times. We completely renovated the old jail when they moved out and built a new justice center. The county leased the building for us as long as we wanted it for a dollar. So it belongs to the county, but it's ours to do. And we, with volunteer work, it took 3 years before we could open even a certain section of it.
And it tells the story of the county?
We try to tell the story of Overton County. We have changing exhibits in the first part of the building that you come into. We've got one room that's dedicated just to schools. We've tried to collect, as most people don't realize, that there was no transportation to schools. Transportation didn't come until probably in the 30s, late 30s at that.
So this was kids literally walking 5 miles uphill in the snow.
So they had, yes, exactly. And there had to be a school within walking distance of every child. So there was a school about every 3 miles. At one time in Overton County, there was about 134 schools. That's
Are
just
you
in
kidding?
Overton County.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
It is.
How much of that history do you have? I mean, how much?
Well, quite a bit. Yeah. We have some pictures of some of the log schools. We've collected as many of the old school pictures as we can find. Of course, they didn't have any. During the Civil War, about everything shut down. They didn't have court system much. And churches didn't meet much. Schools didn't. It was just too dangerous, and everybody was afraid for their kid to be out of their sight, and I would be too, because you never knew what was going to happen. So after the Civil War, of course, they built some log schools, and some were just wooden one-teacher schools, but we've collected as many pictures as we can of the old schools. We've got a great big notebook that's full of stuff like that.
Do you have many mementos or you know, pieces of history?
We do. We have some band uniforms from Livingston Academy. We have cheerleading outfits. We have some things from Rickman High School. Of course, that's my alma mater, and that's where my dad taught school. My mother and daddy both graduated from Rickman High School. My sister and me graduated from Rickman High School, and both my children graduated from Rickman High School.
So I got a chance to see a changing exhibit. There's an area about schools. What else might I see?
One room is dedicated to kind of church-related things. We've got a 10-foot music chart. If anybody's familiar with shape note music, we've got a chart that Mr. Ledbetter that taught that he made. He had two of them, and we have one. It's framed, and we have a wicker casket that the local funeral home had. It dates back to that we think the Civil War. We have a portable embalming equipment that's also from Speck Funeral Home. They used to go to people's homes and embalm.
Wow.
So we have their table. It folds up and rolls in. And all their equipment, they used to go to people's homes and do that.
Do you have a favorite piece that the museum has been able to get over the years?
I do like the music chart. Because I grew up knowing my grandfather taught us the shape notes, and I grew up going to the singing schools and learned all that. And then that's really special to me. And we have a little push button there. You can hear some local people that's singing in shape notes.
How closely does the museum work with, let's say, the county archivist in preserving history?
We do. The county archives, the county records were not taken care of for years. And when they renovated the courthouse, I guess, in the 70s, and they were all moved and just dumped into another building there, just in a room that was damp and moldy, and they were just stacked on the floors. But Overton County is one of the few counties that their courthouse did burn. It was after the Civil War, but it was that same year. There was some renegades came out of Kentucky, I think, and burned the Overton County courthouse. But the guy that had was in charge of the records had hidden the records under his house just off the square. So we have our original land records that dates to, some of them are dated in 1790s.
Wow.
And they still say North Carolina, some of them do, because this was
sure
North Carolina at that time. And we have most of their original court minutes, a lot of loose records. There's a world of information in the archives now. But it was all a volunteer effort. There's a group of us that got together at least one night a week, but sometimes we'd go more than that for years. We put in thousands of volunteer hours, had to clean each page of everything